pairs of eyes, they follow me from shadows or the mist. Everywhere around me, I can hear their hungry hiss. Hanging from the treetops are snakes disguised as vines. Lurking in the bushes are hairy things with spines. The river only helps to hide the monstrous mouths of teeth and seaweed-covered tentacles it uses when it eats. The spider stretches sticky threads it weaves between the trees until the victim wanders in, its web cannot be seen. The mist that's hanging everywhere is pterodactyl breath, the swooping, scaly vulture that only deals in death. Other hungry carnivores with massive hairy claws are crouching in the darkness, poised with razor claws. But I survive each of these perils that are stalking me. All the beasts of every kind in the jungle of my mind.
I never stop.
It has to be specific. I make podcasts that feel like that.
We'll be fine.
Because there's more work to do.
I've been reworking this episode for the past several weeks. I had it all nicely laid out. You see, this episode was supposed to be part two of my process of finding my niche, but no matter how much I want my life to play out in an orderly, serial TV show sort of fashion, life just isn't that clean cut. At any given moment, there are a thousand things running through my head. Voices, noises, cautionary tales, and relentless imagination. Both. They're just there. And while most of my time is spent sitting, staring at my laptop, inside my head, there's a jungle. If you haven't guessed by now, this story is about fear. Not so much the dreaded fear of heights, or the dark, or even the fear of failing. Rather, I want to talk about what that fear does to us, how it impacts the decisions we make, even when we might not realize it. Life is messy sometimes, and it doesn't usually pause while you take time to figure out who you are. So while I was taking time to carefully plot out my path towards identifying the niche of my company and its target market, life kept moving. And now, you and I have lots to catch up on. So let's start a couple months ago, right at the beginning of January. Coming off the drought of November and December, January was the first month of business that felt at least a little bit sustainable. I was living in the success of landing that big podcast project, and other new projects began showing up both from the work I put in back in November, but also the new people I'm meeting in networking events and referrals. The problem was most everything still felt like conversations rather than deals, meaning there's no money in it yet. Early in January, I sat down and got coffee with Ryan Mion. At this point, you're pretty familiar with Ryan, but ever since the first call I recorded with him that you heard in episode 2, he's become a much more central part of this story. And so, Ryan has been officially promoted to a primary cast member of Over the Edge. So here's my official introduction to Ryan Mion and 4137 Productions. Ryan was always a creative dude. After he graduated from college with a degree in film, he jumped right into launching 4137 Productions, which was named after the home address where he and a small group of friends would gather to create together. Ryan had the skills and the education to be incredibly successful in his field. Unfortunately, life has a tendency to throw curveballs. You see, this was right at the beginning of the year 2020, and only a couple months after launching 4137, work screeched to a startling halt in lieu of COVID-19 and mandated quarantine. Ryan put everything he had into his dream, and for reasons he could not have controlled, it was dying before it had a chance to live. Here's a fear. No matter how well we build something, it could die due to circumstances beyond our control. But this was not the end of his story. Ryan kept 4137 alive by falling back on a job at Starbucks and taking on video jobs when he could. Over time, things started to change and the business began to breathe the breath of life once more. And eventually, the time came where working at Starbucks just didn't make sense anymore, and he jumped back into his business full time. And as of recording this, he's still running 4137 Productions as his sole job. Ryan and I first got connected during my time running Caffeinated Records. We were doing similar things and we found that we worked really well together. He even rented a desk at the studio for a little while. We talked about trading work back and forth or even joining forces one day and building a company together. Unfortunately, Caffeinated Records, well, you know the story. Over the years since the studio closed, Ryan and I stayed in touch, but not super frequently. Our jobs no longer brought us close to each other, so we drifted out of touch. In fact, when I called him in episode 2, that was the first time we had sat down and talked for months, maybe for a year. But that conversation reopened something. Okay, so early in January, I got coffee with Ryan to catch up on life. I told him about Sleepy Dog, how the previous 2 months were dangerously slow, how I landed one project that pulled me out of the deficit at the last second, and how I'm hopeful that work will pick up now that the holidays are over. When I asked Ryan for updates in his life, he started telling me that he had just begun niching down from running his business like a full-scale video production company down to becoming a post-production house, editing videos for production companies that are overloaded with projects. He told me that work had begun to pick up since he made this decision, and he told me that, honestly, he wished he'd done it sooner. And this was really interesting to me. Don't get me wrong, I had one solid project and a handful of prospects, but still, that relentless imagination inside me started kicking. It's not right now, but in the future, I'm gonna need help getting projects done, and if I can hand Ryan the edits, I can use that extra time to get more projects and build momentum for the business. At last, Ryan and I could work together. Ryan invited me back to his office for the day. He's got some extra desks in the space and enjoys the company. It was nice to have a change of scenery from my home office, and it was nice to work in proximity to another person. This is good. But despite the silver linings, work was still down. While I was grateful for the big project that I had, I knew I still didn't have enough to break even, so I had to find a way to get more work. But now, I need to make sure I'm giving an appropriate amount of attention to the job that I already have. One day, while I was working at Ryan's office, I was feeling particularly heavy, and I opened my journal so I could try to process it. This is what I wrote. Life is hard right now. Like, really hard. My body goes through the motions, and right now I just feel like I'm in one of those low points. I might be on the other side by tonight even, who knows? I'm just asking so much of a business that isn't strong enough yet. I feel like I'm working my tail off, but I also don't feel like I'm working as hard as I should be. I don't know how to describe it, but that's just where I'm at. The week that followed brought me my worst case scenario. I got sick. I know it might sound a little melodramatic, but remember, I had locked in only enough work to cover 40% of what I needed for the month. I literally can't afford to be sick right now. Despite my determination to push through, I collapsed on the couch, and the sickness had its way with me for a week. Here's a fear. Your dream could die because you spent too much time on the couch. I laid on my couch all day, one day after another day, letting time pass and the sickness run its course. I had a lot of time to think. Times like this can bring out the best and the worst in you. After all, I may be exhausted and my body may be depleted, but the jungle is still active.
Maybe I could push through. I mean, most of my job is emails.
What if the projects don't come?
Is 2 weeks even enough time to book
the savings account is pretty much drained. That won't be enough.
What if this is the end of
4 months isn't a bad one.
I'm wasting my time here.
We just need one solid job.
I just really want this to work.
This is the interesting thing about fear. It does not need a present threat. It just needs past experience. Why am I staring at the ceiling riddled with anxiety about some idea of impending doom when only a couple weeks prior I had booked the largest project of my life? Why am I like that? Well, if I had to guess, I'd say it's because success like that is unfamiliar. But failure to get a business off the ground? Failure to succeed at the thing you want? That's something that I know. That's a familiar feeling.
I never stopped believing in Caffeinated. I'm driven by a fear of failure, for sure. Maybe I didn't give enough, maybe Caffeinated is just not what it's supposed to be right now. Something, I couldn't find the line, but like, I was scared, for sure. that feeling of failure definitely caused me to spiral a little bit. I really felt like, yeah, I failed.
When I ran Caffeinated Records, I was motivated. I worked hard. I was committed to learning. And there still came a day when the cold, hard reality set in and I had to shut it down. Now, here I am, running Sleepy Dog Creative. I'm motivated, I'm working hard, and I'm committed to learning. But I still find myself asking the question,
will I be able to pay my bills this month?
On the heels of one of my greatest wins, but still, the voice of fear rings the loudest. When I was a kid, I developed this really bad habit. I thought it was funny to slap my friends in the face. And I couldn't tell you why I enjoyed it or how I got it in my head that it was enjoyable for others, but I thought I was a blast. This went on for a while. In fact, it wasn't until one of my friends called me out on it that I realized they weren't having nearly as good a time as I was. One day, I went to give one of my friends a high five, and they immediately, instinctually, pulled their face back from my hand. It was in that moment that I realized I had taught my friends that when I raise my hand, it means something bad is coming. It took a long time to show my friends that they could trust me and I didn't mean to hurt them. It's amazing how easy it is to build a reflex and how hard it is to break it. So there I am, 2 weeks removed from my big win, laying on my couch, 100-degree fever, staring at the ceiling, realizing now that I've taught my brain that if I stop working for even a second, something bad is coming. In the frenzy at the bottom. Is it worth holding on? When I've emptied every bottle, will you be here when it's all gone? We'll be right back.
We interrupt this program to bring you a bulletin on Spotlight Coffee. Hey, you.
Welcome to the part of the show where we check in on Kahootly and Mike, two young adults who decided to jump over the edge of their comfort zone and launch Spotlight Coffee. When we last heard from Kahootly, he was describing the very first steps of the process.
Me and my buddy, Mike, like, we've just had this dream forever to do our own thing, do our own coffee thing. Seeing how determined he was, like, I knew someday, Lord permitting, like, we'll be able to do it. And sure enough, he invites me over to hang out over at his apartment, and he just asked me, hey, if I wanted to start a coffee thing, would you want to be my business partner? And in that moment, I was like, yes.
There's a couple of reasons Mike and Kahootly are positioned well to succeed in this venture. They both have been coffee aficionados for years, working at a collection of coffee shops and getting increasingly well-versed in the world of high-quality coffee. Mike in particular has been uniquely fascinated with learning the finer points of coffee.
I just love coffee. Coffee's the best. I don't know. I just really enjoy all of the properties that coffee facilitates or has. It just provides that community aspect. There's a whole bunch of nerdiness that I love to dive into. I just like the idea of mastering something as well. So just like the pursuit of mastery is really like grabs my attention. It's endlessly fascinating.
Kahootly and Mike divided the workload and delegated specific tasks to each other. Mike was going to focus on coffee quality and business logistics, and Kahootly was going to focus on marketing, strategy, and doing some of the grunt work to get this thing up and running. They set out to start phase one of their coffee business, a mobile coffee cart. This was a great way to begin to show people what Spotlight Coffee was all about before having to drop the kind of money required to open a cafe. Still, there's a lot of details to iron out.
So me and Alina's stepdad, we built it together. We kind of like designed it out as we were going to kind of make sure everything worked. I was going to do it myself, but then as soon as I realized, like, whew, wow, I thought I had the equipment I needed, but this is a lot more. And so I reached out to him and he was like, dude, let's do it. We need enough room for the plumbing system. So we need somewhere to install it. We need holes and stuff to be able to fit things through, like tubing and such, and enough storage in there to where we can store our cooler to be able to put our drinks and stuff and other dry goods. And then supports and stuff like that, because like it's gotta be strong.
As with my story, and the story of so many people standing at the edge, there's some emotional stakes underneath this decision for both Mike and Kahootly. These stakes, while they might not be the driving force of your decisions, they play an undeniable role in the way you see the purpose of the dream you're pursuing.
It kickstarted by finding out my wife was pregnant and the excitement of that and the desire to start building something that I had thought about for a while. Just wanting to create something that can provide for my family and stand alone to where I don't have to rely on another income. So starting that process now, I knew I couldn't do it alone. And Kahootly was just the clear choice of like best partner.
For Kahootly, he's right at the front of making some major life decisions. The biggest of which is finding the right date for his wedding. This is what it's all about. You see, I'm not just starting a video company, and Mike and Kahootly aren't just starting a coffee company. We've looked forward at the life that we want to live, and we've come to the conclusion that the only chance we have to get there is to make some bold choices today, and tomorrow, and the next day. This isn't just about coffee. This is about building the life that you want to live.
I desperately want this to be my career, because I want to work in an industry that I love, doing things that I love. I heard this quote. It's like, sometimes maturity or living life is realizing that life is coming from you, not at you. I'm a firm believer of like, if you don't love your day to day, you're wasting your life.
Unfortunately, building a life you want to live can prove to be a bumpy path with an unclear destination. And inevitably, you'll find yourself wondering if you're maybe in over your head.
Doing mobile events is a ton of work. A lot more than I think both me and Mike were ready for. Both of our cars fit all the stuff, but then that means that we have to take both cars out to every event. That's two cars that we gotta pay parking for. And then on top of that, we were realizing that we needed to set up early because it took us a while to set up. And then small roadblocks, like with plumbing, things as you're disconnecting, reconnecting things can sometimes break. Not to mention the water line for our espresso machine just kept going loose for no reason. Like we needed time to test run everything, make sure everything's running smoothly. It just was a lot more work than we were thinking.
Turns out everyone is susceptible to a little bit of fear.
I think it was at the beginning of February, after like Winter Conference was probably like our biggest event, but I think it was when I realized not many kids ordered. Upcoming February, like we had that encounter night, we did it, not many people ordered. I think it was in that moment that I was like, oh shoot, what have we done? Like have we done enough? Like where went wrong? Like what do we need to do to get to where we need to be? But I know that like in order to get the clientele and the money that we need to keep running, we would have to do much bigger jobs, which means that we have to find other ways of transportation. Like that was a brief period where I was like, I don't think this is gonna work out any further.
This is the sort of moment where having a partner who's in it with you can help you see your situation a bit differently.
My main fear is just that it won't take off and won't work out. But also personally, I feel like the fear, it makes me not be in the moment a little bit. I feel like sometimes it's hard to just sit there and be like, okay, yeah, we started a business. Like we're doing this. It's hard to get excited about it. And I need to remind myself that we're actually doing it and that it is so exciting. I was talking to a friend and they were like, oh my gosh, you're doing it. And it was like a wave of just refreshment. Like, yeah, this is actually super exciting. And I actually haven't either taken the time or had the time to just be excited because we're just like grinding away. Taking those times to be like, all right, yeah, we're doing it.
Fear puts you in a place of claustrophobia. All you can see is the crippling reality of loss. It's like you built your dream inside of a room, but now the walls of that room are closing in all around you. And suddenly, without realizing it, that room became a cage. Fortunately, there are people around Kahootly and Mike to remind them of the beautiful things that are happening in spite of the challenges. At the risk of sounding cliche, the life that you find on the other side of the edge, it's not about the destination. And little did they know, but their journey was about to get much more interesting.
And now, back to the show.
A business like mine has a strange sort of volatility. Each project I do has a pretty high dollar amount attached to it, and this means that I might be able to get by on 2 or 3 projects a month. So, while I laid on the couch, too exhausted to get anything done, I was nervous about being halfway through the month with a 60% revenue deficit. But at the same time, I knew that just one good project could pull me out of the hole. And one good project is only one good email away. And wouldn't you know it, while I laid on the couch, before the week was over, I got one good email. And funny enough, it's about another podcast. All right, so today was like a sudden slew of like wins. I don't know if you've ever had one of those. It was, I don't want to brag, but of course I have. She's going to look over the contract, and unless there's anything that, you know, she has questions about, she'll have it signed and sent over by the end of the day. Sweet. Wow. Awesome. Great. Cool.
Yeah. I guess, what next?
Well, I need to put a couple meetings on the calendar for pre-production stuff. I'm hiring Kahootly to design the cover art for it. Yeah. I got to make a list of like strategy things to plan for and present that to her. So yeah, basically the next step is she's going to mail a check with 50%. That should be in by the end of the week.
Hey.
Okay, so I've got 2 good projects. Enough for me to squeak by in January. I think that week of forced downtime helped me identify the reality of some of my fears. But I think it also showed me that I don't have quite as much control in the success and failure of my business as I thought I did. And you could take that with anxiety, or you could take that as a relief. I think I'm doing both. But either way, it was nice to know that we're one step closer to having a stable business. However, just because you've identified a fear does not mean you've confronted it. In the following weeks, some more jobs began to come through the pipeline. They weren't like crazy big jobs, but it was enough to feel like we're starting to move forward. And this is where I was faced with a choice, and I learned I needed to put my money where my mouth was. Literally. And just like that, we're back in the jungle. So the more conversations I'm having, the more I'm noticing that I'm making the most progress when I'm focusing on the sales conversations and the networking. But now, every time I get a new job, I need to devote more and more of my time to accomplishing that job, which means I have increasingly less time to focus on the sales conversations and the networking. From the start of my business, I intended to bring other people in to edit the projects so that I could take that time I saved and focus on getting more projects. It's a great idea in theory, but now I've got some projects and I've got Ryan on board to edit the videos, but that feeling of scarcity is all too familiar. And I'm scared that if I let go of any of my resources, it'll be the end of me. But also, if I try to hold on to everything, I'm once again gonna collapse on the couch. And so I'm stuck in a loop where it feels like I will lose either way. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the cage. The place where our fear locks us up and holds us prisoner. Time and time and time again, I'm stuck.
Fear is very powerful, and fear of failure is huge. I've had circumstances in my distant past when an opportunity came to me to meet with, you know, a senior leader and take a look at a big project. And something inside of me, there was just, an invisible force which said, not this time. And really what's going on there is I'm concerned that I may get myself into something bigger than I was prepared for. and it's fear of failure. And fear of failure is terrible because it's really not the failure that we fear. What we really fear is the self-judgment that goes with it. And so it's the call that we don't make. It's the door that we don't walk through. It's the question we don't ask.
How do you conquer it?
That's a great question. The only way we get through fear is we've got to push into it and trust ourselves. You make the valiant attempt and you're going to succeed or you're not going to succeed. But either way, it didn't kill you. The way you conquer fear is you push through it. You can't go around it.
You can't go around it. I called Ryan and said that I had a project for him and took 3 videos and hired him to be my editor. Ryan was gracious and gave me a good deal, well below what he's worth, honestly. But I think it helped me stretch this muscle of letting go and bringing other people in. And you know what's funny? It worked. It worked well. Ryan got right to work doing what he does best, and I jumped back into bringing in the next batch of projects. My new client conversations picked up, more contracts got signed, deposits were paid, things were moving. Things that might not have happened if I hadn't had the time. And Ryan did a killer job on the edits, getting good feedback from my client. It all worked so well. I kind of wondered why I was so afraid. This process got me asking some questions. Questions that centered around the conversation of finding my niche. What sort of business am I building? But honestly, the question I'm really asking is, what do I want from this business? And what do I want with my life?
People have told me, you know, you're super creative and, you know, it makes sense that you're doing all this stuff. Almost as if the thing that I'm building has to center around me. And I think that's all well and good. But at the same time, I don't actually think any of the things that I do are so niche that I couldn't teach anyone else how to do it. You know, I think I have passions and skills and an eye for things and a desire for a certain culture. But I think all of those things are things that I can build and train. And I think if I don't choose to do that, I'm going to become the dad that, like, the whole, I can't take a day off, because if I stop working, I'm the soul of the company dies. And I don't think I want to do that. I actually think I need to be willing to identify the fact that I'm not so special that I cannot be replaced, and actually make all of my goals about creating something that could replace me.
I don't think I realized it at the time, but the things I was saying on that call would become the guiding force of my decisions going forward. And it's crazy to look back on it, because 4 days after I had that conversation, I would have another one that would change the landscape of Sleepy Dog Creative at a scale I could not have imagined. But we'll have to talk about that next time. In the meantime, I want you to think about this. Fear is powerful, and in a lot of ways, it's important. It helps protect us and helps us understand the true weight of the thing that's in front of us. But it can also lock us up and keep us from stepping into the life that we dreamed of. It's important that we can notice when our fear is the thing that's calling the shots. Because once we've done that, we can actually do something about it.
Sometimes I need to talk to myself. When we have self-limiting beliefs, sometimes those self-limiting beliefs will come out of our mouth. The most dangerous person to hear your self-limiting belief is you. So be careful what you say. And so one of my mantras is, I treat adversity and opportunity exactly the same. Run straight at it.
We'll be right back.
Over the Edge is a production of Sleepy Dog Creative. It was written, hosted, and edited by Jeremiah Shoemaker. Our theme song is OK by Quinn from Space. This episode's featured song is Drive Alone by Quinn from Space. Music composition by Jeremiah Shoemaker, Lucas Hibden, and Jesse Taylor. Graphic design by Cahootly Alvarado. All music for Spotlight Coffee was provided by The Tune Raider. You can find links to his music in the show notes. Special thanks to Mike Boyack, Cahootly Alvarado, Ryan Mione, and John Maxwell. If you enjoyed this show, send it to someone you know who needs to hear it. And if you want to reach out, you can email us at sleepydogcreative@gmail.com. We'll see you next time for the next chapter of Over the Edge.